Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 432 shows counting this evening. And this is just so wonderful having this platform for all the animals in need and distress, where we can go out and reach and help them from every angle, from calling our representatives to signing petitions, to writing letters and emails, whatever we can do to make their lives and better and, you know, their future. So that's what we got to look at here. I'm going to keep going. And at the end of June, it'll be 10 years having this podcast, Voices Caring for Animals. It first started with Marty Oakley, who passed away last April 1st. May she rest in peace. But it started on TS Radio Network, the first show to the 163rd show. And then she got together with me and went on my own to Animal Advocates Radio, 164th show to current and counting. So we'll never forget her. She was the grassroots of all the Voices Caring for Animals, and we're going to keep going. But anyway, I want to go over a couple things before we do get started here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. And Mama Bear does care because she's on the air. So I want to welcome everyone to the show this evening. All you new listeners, welcome. And I hope you enjoy the show and you'll keep coming back, spreading the word. And all you returning listeners, thank you for your awesome, continuous support out there. And a big shout out to everyone out there that's helped me to promote these shows every Thursday on Facebook, Voices Caring for Animals Support Group, Voices Caring for Animals Facebook page. Please check those out. Go by and join Voices Caring for Animals Support Group on Facebook, and also Voices Caring for Animals, it's kind of new on Facebook. Follow, and there's a lot of posts on there where you can help out and take that action. And, you know, it takes teamwork to see the victories, everyone. So we got to work together. And the stronger we, you know, come together, and the more of us and the more we multitask and help out other causes, the better it is and the faster the changes. But so keep that word teamwork, strength in numbers, power in numbers, because all the animals deserve this to get better lives and futures out there. And it's up to all of us to make it happen. So please don't, you know, ignore it, or, you know, the animals' rights should be granted, not ignored out there, and free from anxiety and fear and abuse and neglect and cruelty. They all should, you know, live that, you know, that good life, but they don't. And we're going to make sure, you know, that they do our best to make it happen. I just wanted to go over a couple things here in Florida. Well, if everyone that lives in Florida could call or, you know, get the email address for Governor Ron DeSantis, and it's about taking of the bears here in Florida, and ask him or email him to veto it, the HB 87 or the Senate Bill 632. I haven't heard anything that he hasn't, is he going to sign it or not sign it, but let's make sure. And a big thank you, and you can keep up on the updates on Bear Defenders on Facebook and One Protest and Advocacy Organization. They leave up, you know, they do follow-ups and updates and everything like that. Governor Ron DeSantis' phone number is area code 850-717-9337. And you can search, contact Governor Ron DeSantis and get his email address if you prefer to email. Let's save the bears, because that means that if somebody spots a bear and they're in fear, they could go and shoot it and kill it. And I don't think that's right. That's injustice to the bears. So let's protect them and do our part. Let's see a victory and not, and have him veto this, these two bills here. And another shout out goes to Gary Bowden of All About Animals Radio, the producer, and also on, he's got the wikianimal.org. A big shout out to him on there also, because he's promoting his show on the website. And Spencer Hodges, Rebound News, is also putting out, it's got on the website promo. And also the great news is Wikianimal has a new podcast coming up, and you can subscribe on YouTube. Check it out, because he's got some great shows going, and it takes teamwork, and he is a super team player, and he's very helpful. And a big shout out to Erica Salvamini, and she is also, she's the Rising Lioness on YouTube also, so check her out. I was interviewed by her last summer, or last October, and it was a great interview, very informative, and she's very professional. She is the Rising Lioness, so check that out, and, you know, give them your support. They're also on Facebook and an X, and that's formerly Twitter, and also on LinkedIn, so check them out, wikianimal.org, and also Wikianimal on YouTube, new podcast. Thank you, Gary Bowden. The Mama Bear sends you a big hug from Florida to the UK. So we're going to get this another great show started here this evening. I want to welcome back Mary Ann Holm. She's the president and campaign coordinator at Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project, also known as LEAP. And a big shout out to all the supporters out there for LEAP and Mary Ann Holm for all they're doing for Lucy the elephant. This has been a over 15-year battle, everyone, to get Lucy the elephant at the Edmonton Valley Zoo in Canada to a sanctuary. This is so sad and heartbreaking, what this elephant is going through with. I mean, I've had many shows with Mary Ann Holm and Marilyn Glazer, and a big shout out to her also, or Glazer, and also Barbara Levette, who was Save Nosy Now. Nosy got released to a sanctuary back in 2019, and it has Nosy's Law up in New Jersey. So it was a battle for Barbara Levette, and she's still out there, you know, taking calls of action and helping these animals, these elephants out in the zoos and the circuses. But Barbara Levette, and I'm looking forward to having you back on air again, and thanks for all you're doing. But we can't give up. We want to see Lucy and rest of them get to a sanctuary where they belong. But I'm going to bring my guest on, and it's Mary Ann Holm. Welcome her back. I'm so honored to have her back on air. Mary Ann, how are you this evening? You're always welcome back to my shows. You're live and on
Hi,
the
Debbie.
Air. So how are you?
I'm doing all right. Congratulations on your upcoming 10-year anniversary.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to keep going too, Mary. I'm not going to give up. You know, at the
Oh, I know you won't.
No way. I'm going to keep going till my last breath out there, okay? So I don't give up.
I share that sentiment.
Yes, yes. So, but anyway, I can't thank you and Meatball enough out there for all you're doing, the continuous support, because it's been a battle. I mean, big fight, and I can't figure out why. It's like, leave Lucy alone and let her be in a sanctuary. I mean, Nosy is so happy with, you know, ever since 2019, and you could tell the difference, you know. And Lucy doesn't have no social life. She's in a zoo where she can't do nothing, and she's got health conditions. But you want to go ahead and refresh the audience and listeners that, you know, how you got started with this, because you're amazing. I mean, totally amazing on this. But go right ahead.
Thank you, Debbie. Yes, I got started fighting for Lucy back in around 2011 as part of efforts that another group were doing on behalf of Lucy, a group here in Edmonton called Voices for Animals. And, you know, we protested, et cetera, for Lucy, but they had a variety of things that they were fighting against, rodeos, the fur trade, all kinds of animal cruelty. And it just occurred to me at that time that maybe it was time for Lucy to have her own group. So in 2015, I founded the group called Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project. And with the blessing of Voice for Animals, and we've been working ever since as hard as we can to try and see about getting Lucy to sanctuary. As far as Lucy goes, just to refresh any visitors' minds about Lucy or any of your new listeners, Lucy is a 48-year-old Asian elephant who was originally born in Sri Lanka and sadly was captured when she was just a baby and brought to Canada. Apparently, the Edmonton Valley Zoo, where she's lived ever since, put in an order for a female elephant, and a wildlife trafficker down in Sri Lanka ended up capturing Lucy from her herd. And we suspect, which is hard to think about, that possibly her herd was killed, including her mother, because what we know about elephants is that they will protect the babies till their death. They will surround and circle them, and I've seen it myself at sanctuaries, how the babies are protected. So we believe that possibly Lucy was made an orphan in the during her capture, to have her travel all the way across the world to then become an exhibit, essentially incarcerated and jailed for being just a beautiful, majestic creature. She was 2 years old, and this was back in 1977 when she came to Edmonton in May. And at that time in her life, she should have still been nursing from her mother. Elephants will nurse as long as 5 years of age. So, you know, she clearly would have suffered some level of malnourishment. And, of course, here in Edmonton, Up in sort of the northern part of Canada, the climate here is completely unsuitable for an Asian elephant, a subtropical animal. So her diet would not be anything close to what she would have had in Sri Lanka. And, you know, that's one of the many reasons she suffers from a variety of captivity-related conditions. So just imagine a small two-year-old elephant taken from her mother, brought to a strange foreign land, freezing cold weather many, many months of the year, and fed hay as if she was a horse, and given very little in the way of fresh fruits and vegetables. It probably goes without saying, but up here we have a very short growing season, and so getting fresh browse or produce for Lucy would be a challenge. Just lost my train of thought there. Anyhow, Lucy lives in a small, tiny concrete barn. It has no windows. And because of our climate, she spends a good two-thirds of her life stuck in this tiny little barn, which is about 2,000 square feet. We know that Asian elephants, and every elephant, likes to roam and forage and spends almost 20 hours a day foraging and roaming through the jungles or the savannas in Africa. And that's how they stay healthy. That's where they find their food and water. And Lucy, on the other hand, is in this tiny little enclosure. Her yard is only 0.3 of an acre. So you can imagine that's smaller than the average city yard that people have. And so consequently, because of that, Lucy has always suffered from obesity, being as much as 1,500 pounds overweight, simply due to a lack of exercise. The zoo thinks that they compensate for that by taking her out for walks, weather permitting, around the zoo. But it, of course, doesn't come close when you're looking at the distance that she's able to travel, but she's not able to freely forage and explore when she's out for her walks because she is out with two zookeepers who both carry bull hooks, and they flank her on either side and direct her where she should go. When I've observed her, she's typically walking on pavement or asphalt. Even in the hot summer months, and we do get some hot weather, just only for a few months out of the year, but that's very hard on an elephant-sensitive feet. Not to mention the fact that in the wild or even in sanctuaries, elephants walk on a varied terrain with soft, spongy earth underneath their feet, and you know, which provides cushioning to their feet. Lucy's either on concrete, pavement, snow, ice, or hard-packed earth, and her feet never get a break from the pressure that's put on them. And this is one of the biggest reasons why elephants do not survive as long in zoos as they would in a proper environment. 50% of premature deaths of zoo elephants are related to the fact that they develop joint disease, arthritis, and foot disease. And this is simply from standing on concrete day in and day out for a number of years. We know that Lucy has arthritis, quite significant arthritis. When I've observed her, I've seen her often hold up one leg to take some pressure off. And when I see her walk, you can see the pain in her face with each step that she takes. And it's just heartbreaking. And then, you know, inside her enclosure, she's standing there. Sometimes, you know, they hose off her area and it can be winter. And so, you know, it's damp in the barn. The floor is cold. There is some floor heating, But certainly when we get temperatures, and we do get temperatures as cold as minus 40 degrees Celsius here, last winter in particular, we set records, lifetime records of cold weather. So we had points in time where it went to minus 50. So just for just for your non-Canadian listeners or UK listeners, minus 40 Celsius is the same as minus 40 Fahrenheit. That's when the two temperature measurements actually merge. So it's the same temperature as what you guys would know to be minus 40. Lucy is walked in the winter. The guideline for, or the cutoff for allowing her outdoors is minus 20 or warmer. So she has actually had frostbite of her ears, and they have rejected a coat that was donated to the zoo by worldwide advocates who came together to raise money to have a custom made coat, insulated coat made for Lucy. And that was one of our first actions as LEAP. Back on Valentine's Day in 2015, we delivered this coat to the Edmonton Valley Zoo. As a show of good faith, we included with it, you know, some treats for the zookeeping staff, and hoped that they would at least put this cone on Lucy. We see sanctuaries in India and Thailand who will put coats on their elephants when it gets down to plus 14, plus 12 at night, because they're concerned that it's too cold for the elephants. So you can imagine what minus 40 would be like. But regardless of the gesture that was made in good faith, the zoo refused to use the coat and stated that they would donate it to a sanctuary because Lucy was fine. She was used to the cold weather, and they monitor her temperatures, et cetera. So we actually think the coat ended up in the garbage because we are in contact with sanctuaries around the world, and we heard of no one who was given this coat that was designed for Lucy. So in addition to a lack of exercise and the cold climate that Lucy's subjected to, she has zoo or captivity-related conditions that are common in zoo elephants. Another one is colic, which is, you know, a gastrointestinal disorder, and that is from lack of water. We know that Lucy drinks from a hose. They don't fill her water troughs. They just give her a hose to drink from, and the keepers go home, you know, by evening time. So for half the day, she has no access to water. And so therefore, we feel that she's likely in a state of dehydration much of the time. And because she's fed things like hay that are lacking in hydration, that's another cause of dehydration. And then, of course, just the inappropriate diet that she gets. She gets things like beet pulp, which is not something an elephant would normally eat. And the treat that she gets, unlike in the sanctuaries where they'll give their elephants pumpkins, watermelons, bananas, Lucy gets a cup of dry popcorn as her treat.
What?
Supposedly, they give her that, and they deprive her of the other things because of her weight. But they are the reason that her weight is so high because of the conditions in which she's kept. Lucy also suffers from zookosis, which is characterized by stereotypical movements, rocking and swaying back and forth, which again can also aggravate foot disease by putting, you know, abnormal pressure on certain parts of her feet. And we have video footage on our YouTube channel which shows Lucy just standing there, you know, stepping forward and stepping backwards, you know, continuously. And that's known as stereotypical movements. And it's something that animals, I mean, not just elephants, but animals in captive environments, circuses, zoos, will do. And it's their way of passing time. It's a self-soothing action so that they just break the monotony. And it's really a sign of them going mad, that they are literally in a state of anxiety and mental duress. And this is how they self-soothe themselves by doing that. So Lucy displays that behavior. We know that when we come there, and they know many of us now, so they make a point of either, you know, whisking Lucy away so we can't get footage. They've now locked her inside barn, so we can't go indoors and take any kind of footage of Lucy anymore. But they will constantly stimulate her when they suspect people like myself or others are around, so that she won't, you know, display these stereotypical movements, because they know darn well that that is, you know, an ominous sign for a captive animal. What else? We found out in 2022, when international experts were finally allowed in after much pressure on the zoo, an organization called Free the Wild had offered to bring in international experts. At that time, I pressured my city councilor to, you know, allow this to happen, because they were originally wanting to just tell Free the Wild to get lost, much like they did to Mr. Bob Barker, who tried in 2009 to help Lucy. They told him to go and get a job. It just makes me so angry how disrespected that incredible man. And I'll just throw in a rest in peace to Mr. Bob Barker, because what a loss he was to this world. He survived 99 years, and I have no doubt that, you know, he would have been willing to do anything for Lucy up until his dying day. But I digress. Back to these assessments. We were also asked to submit recommendations for consultants that we would like to examine Lucy. So this was quite a big step, and we were thrilled, and we did just that. One of our consultants was chosen. The other consultants were ones recommended by Free the Wild, and they came in and examined Lucy. And a number of recommendations were made about how much her area needed to be improved. But the two sanctuary experts said that Lucy should be moved to sanctuary and outlined how that could be done safely, because the zoo has continuously stated for as long as I've been involved that Lucy would not survive the trip to sanctuary because of a breathing problem that she has. This breathing problem is quite a mystery, because there's never been a true diagnosis made of what this breathing problem is. The zoo has been misleading in saying that they thought it was her teeth, which is another issue I didn't mention earlier. Lucy has a lot of crooked, misaligned, and rotting teeth, actually. I've seen videos where they've gone in and taken pictures inside her mouth, and her teeth are black in many areas, and her molars are pointing sideways. So eating and chewing has got to be painful as well for Lucy. And eventually she will shed that last set of molars, and then she will be an elephant without teeth. And, you know, we see this in sanctuaries with the older elephants, and they are catered to, you know, people will make them a soft diet specifically just for them because they can't eat what the elephants with teeth can eat. So, you know, I don't have a lot of faith that the zoo will do a good job managing that. But for now, Lucy's teeth are are also an issue. And the zoo tried to state that her teeth and her malformation of her teeth were actually constricting her trunk, and that is why she was having breathing problems. That was since sort of quashed with the experts that came, to my understanding. They didn't feel it was related to her teeth at all. So the jury is still out, but what we've since found out is the city did an audit of all of its facilities before they planned their upcoming budgets. And in the evaluation of the zoo, specifically Lucy's area, it was determined that the ventilation system in her barn was inadequate. It was pointed out that Lucy and the staff were breathing in contaminants because of this ineffective air filtration system in her barn. So one would think, now we're talking about summer of 2022 when they made this discovery, that Lucy would now have a new HVAC system, but she doesn't. We also discovered through occupational health and safety, I made a complaint. You can make a complaint to the provincial occupational health and safety area about unsafe workplaces. Now, of course, this doesn't apply to an elephant. Their mandate is not to ensure the safe workplace of an elephant. It's strictly about humans. So I made the complaint. I'm not saying I don't care about people, but my goal, of course, was to try to determine the safety of the air quality in Lucy's area or any other health concerns that the occupational health and safety people would have noted. We know that in Lucy's barn, there is a lot of areas where rodents can get in. Rodent droppings can cause some respiratory diseases like hantavirus. We know that there is a possibility of mold because of the dampness in her barn. And birds were coming in through openings in the roof. Bird feathers can also cause respiratory illness. So I made a complaint to occupational health, citing my concern for the staff working in the environment. And what result we got back was shocking to us because we hadn't considered this, but what they pointed out was the sand that they use in Lucy's barn. She has an area called her bedroom, which is, you know, half the size of my bedroom, which is filled with sand at an angle that Lucy would lay on, which makes it easier for her to get up when she's in a recumbent position. And she also has this sand in her exercise tent that they erected behind her barn, which was supposedly supposed to solve, you know, this issue of Lucy not having enough area. We found out that that sand is, in fact, silica sand. And my background before I became involved in this is I'm a respiratory therapist, ironically, and I know from treating patients that silica dust is a big cause of respiratory disease. So now we have an inappropriate air filtration system in the barn. We have silica dust floating around. And they will go in and sort of fluff up that sand, which will cause it to, you know, go up into the air and release more silica dust. So in this occupational health report, they suggested that the staff needed to be wearing a mask while they were in Lucy's area. This was upsetting because what kind of mask can Lucy wear in her area? And she's the one laying directly on this sand that poses a risk to her. So when they talk about the respiratory disease that Lucy has, and they use it as the excuse for why they think she wouldn't survive a move to sanctuary, they have caused it just by the conditions that she lives in, coupled with the fact that the climate here in Edmonton is dry and, you know, elephants live in a subtropical environment. And, you know, a consultant some years ago that did a signed legal affidavit about Lucy's conditions stated that the climate in Edmonton could be a big factor with her breathing issues. So, you know, it's just so frustrating because the thing that they use for an excuse and what our politicians are buying as an excuse for Lucy's safety to be moved is actually being caused by the conditions in which she lives. And to try to get that across to the people in power has been a most frustrating endeavor. But of course, giving up is not an option, so we will continue as best we can. One other thing I want to add is that when the consultants came in, they also noted by ultrasound that Lucy had a 70-pound tumor on her uterus. And as someone who formally requests Lucy's health records annually from the Edmonton Valley Zoo, I have noted in her records that she has displayed episodes of abdominal pain to the point where she will stop walking when they have her outdoors and will just lay down on the sidewalk and take her trunk and slap her trunk against her belly. And then for periods of time, she'll refuse to eat or drink. And then they will, you know, comment that Lucy had, you know, a bad day, seems to be having abdominal pain. Then they will give her painkillers. Then they will give her anti-inflammatories. And then sometime later, she sort of bounces back, gets up, and carries on. I have read this in her chart for 10 years. My assumption was that this was the result of colic, which could be contributing, but I had no idea that Lucy would be found with a 70-pound tumor. Mm. They talked about doing, you know, diagnostic testing where they would have to do a transvaginal scope to try to determine what was going on because they speculated there was some problem in her reproductive system because she had been passing clots. And they talked about how they would have to train Lucy to be able to accept this scope inside her. And yet they talked about it for years and never did anything. And then along come the consultants in 2022, and with a simple ultrasound that many of us have had for various reasons, a wand, you know, that swiped over the abdomen, they instantly discovered the 70-pound tumor. This poor elephant suffered needlessly for all those years with a condition that could have been readily diagnosed and also readily treated because it's a very simple treatment for this, which is known as a uterine leiomyeloma. And the treatment for this is a simple vaccine treatment. So thankfully, even though it was a decade late, this diagnosis was made, and she has received treatment now, and the tumor appears, we understand, to be shrinking, and Lucy is a lot more comfortable now that she's finally been treated. We also know that after the recommendations of the consultants for a better diet plan, that Lucy has lost over 1,000 pounds. So that's good news, and of course, you know, that'll only be helpful to Lucy. So it was our hope then that Lucy could be reevaluated and the prospect of moving her to sanctuary could still be on the table. But the zoo made sure that they brought back only the consultants that said Lucy couldn't be moved and did not bring back the sanctuary consultants that even in the condition Lucy was in at that time, they felt Lucy could be moved with, you know, a lot of safety precautions put in place. But they didn't bring those consultants back. They only brought back the ones that said Lucy must remain in Edmonton. So here we are again.
This is terrible. Disgusting,
here we
Marianne.
Sit again.
It is disgusting.
It is. I could just smash my head against a wall, as foolish as that sounds. But the frustration.
It's just so cruel and heartless putting this out. These elephants and wild animals, they don't belong in zoos and circuses. They have no choice in the matter. They're forced. They have no life. They're in prison. They're slavery. And it needs to be stopped. And Edmonton Valley Zoo in Canada, please release Lucy, because she doesn't deserve or belong in there. And it's, and she's going to turn 49 years old this year. And it's, it, you know, why all these years, over 15 years, everyone, this battle has been taking place. The time is up. Enough is enough. We have to be Lucy's voices and get her out of there, you know. And Marianne, please give your website out and your Facebook group. And a big shout out to everyone out there. This show is slammed, and I'm so glad, you know, it's doing so well, and it doesn't die out. But a big shout out to all the Twitter followers in there on my personal account, and also Voices Care for Animals, the new one on Twitter, Stand Up for the Number 4 Animals, and my website, www.voicescarryforanimals.com. You could follow my website on there and the episodes. But please, everyone, we have to get stronger. We have to get better, because I mean, every day is just, you know, her life is passing her by. Marianne, she needs to get out of there. And these cruel, and I'll say it on there, cruel and heartless people out there that have no compassion for animals, and it's all about money, cha-ching, okay?
Yeah.
Greed bullies at its best, profit before animals at its best, and have no compassion for animals whatsoever. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's a disgrace to the human race out there. You know, so please give out your website and your Facebook, your Twitter followers. Thank you so much out there helping promote this show. I can't, this list is huge, and this show is, I mean, jamming. And, but, you know, thank you, fans of animal rights out there on Facebook. I mean, this is awesome. And all you, thank you all for tuning in, because we are rocking airways for Lucy, and we're going to continue to do so. Right, Marianne? But give me your...
Absolutely.
Yes, give me your website, your Facebook page, any kind of, anything you can do to help out. And listeners,
okay,
all these shows are archived, so you can go back and get the information if you want. We love you, Lucy. Prayers for Lucy to get released. You know, she deserves it so much. But go ahead, Mary.
Our website is www.leapforlucy.com, and the four is F-O-R, Lucy.com. On our website, if you scroll down, you will see some automated letters, and they are very, very simple. Some are directed to our civic politicians, our provincial politicians, our prime minister, etc. And you just click on those and you fill in your contact information and hit send. Very, very simple way you can help. Our bulk of our activity is on Facebook, through our Facebook group that you can find by typing into your search window Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project, and you should see us pop up there, and then just ask to join, and we will happily accept you. One thing I wanted to say, I mentioned to you, Debbie, that we had an announcement, and we haven't made this announcement yet, so I'm announcing it here on your program for the first time, but the documentary film that features Lucy has been completed, and
yes,
we are very, very excited about that. The film will be shown throughout North America and will be featured in film festivals across at least North America, possibly outside of North America as well. And it will start in Toronto. The film producer is Fern Levitt, and she's out of the Toronto area. She made a very incredible film called Sled Dogs, which exposed the horrific conditions in which the sled dogs actually live, including the Iditarod that I noticed just took place recently in the United States. And that was an award-winning documentary. And she learned of Lucy's situation, and it inspired her to create a documentary. So we're really excited about that. We are just looking at setting up updates for the screening of that film, which will be in Edmonton probably in early June. So we will keep everyone posted on our website and on our Facebook group about more details about the documentary. And we hope that that's going to have a positive effect on our campaign for Lucy. The other thing I wanted to put...
This is awesome.
The other thing I wanted to quickly mention is a shout out to our friends at the Save Elephant Foundation. They are the ones that have Elephant Nature Park, which is the largest Asian elephant sanctuary in the world. And the founder, Lek Chilert, was in Edmonton. She came specifically to Edmonton all the way from Thailand last fall to bring her wonderful documentary called Elephant Mother, which highlights her work in trying to protect the elephants in Thailand from the tourist industry. She wanted to bring it, and this only place she came in Canada was Edmonton, because she is so concerned about Lucy's plight, and she wanted to come here and try to speak to officials here in the city. She went to the zoo, and unfortunately they recognized her, and she heard the zoo security radioing to someone that the elephant mother was in the park, and they made sure that Lucy wasn't available for her to see. Just another example of the underhanded tactics used by this zoo. But thankfully, she did go on our national CTV television national morning show and spoke about her work, but made sure also to bring up Lucy. And I was just there last month, and she allowed me to speak with her volunteers and, you know, set up this. And there's about 60 volunteers at the sanctuary at a time. And it was such a pleasure to speak to these people that obviously like-minded people who were giving of their time to volunteer at the sanctuary. And also on the second week of my visit there, there was a group called Stews for Elephants, which is a group of flight attendants and airline employees that have formed a group that are working to try to help Elephant Nature Park, Save Elephant Foundation, but have also offered their support to LEAP. And so I was able to speak to them, and we also did a demonstration right at the sanctuary on behalf of Lucy. So I didn't want to end this program without mentioning how much we appreciate the support from the Save Elephant Foundation, from Stews for Elephants, for helping Lucy. So just had to get that out there, but I hear that you have some callers.
That's awesome there. And I want to give a shout-out to Sam Wincup, too, also, Marianne. She did that wonderful promo for this show tonight. It was beautiful. And, I mean, I shared
She's
it everywhere.
She's amazing.
She is amazing.
So
Hello,
lucky
Sam. And
yeah, we're so lucky to have her as part of our LEAP team. She does incredible graphics.
Yes, she
does.
She does,
you know, beautiful videos. And not just that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things she does. But she's the vice president of LEAP and has been with me since pretty much the beginning of this group. And so, yes, absolutely. Shout out to Sam Wincup. Shout out to Marilyn Glazer that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Another integral part of LEAP. We have Laura Wilson is another one of our admins, and we have Lacey McNally, another one of our admins. So that is our group, and we all do our best to try to help Lucy in any way we can.
That's awesome. All of you got a heart of gold, and it is awesome. And I'm standing right with you, okay? Because I know,
yes,
Marion, we've done,
I know you
even
are,
Vigil for Elephants back January 11th of this year, everyone. That was a great tribute to all the elephants that have died in captivity. You know, it was sad. It was, you know, heartbreaking. But, you know, and Lindsay Baker had one on Unchained TV for Jane Velez Mitchell. And it was awesome too, you know, but it's waking a lot of people up. But I got a caller there, Marianne.
Okay.
Okay, Erico 702, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Go right ahead.
Hello,
Debbie.
Me? Hello, Marianne. Hello.
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 How's it going,
Hi.
Facebook friend? I love
Hello,
when you call
it's Carolyn, your Facebook friend. Hello, both.
Yes.
Old people. Yeah, you mentioned, I decided to chime in, though. I'm decided to set a rough day, but getting back to the subject about Bob Barker, and yeah, I saw an article about he had a clash with another celebrity, Betty White, on elephants being released into the wild, and Betty White thought, well, you know, as long as they're in the zoo, and that's why ever since then they haven't spoken to each other from what I've read in the article. I could send it to you, Debbie, the article. That's proof that
yes, I'm familiar. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
Betty White is, of course, very popular, and people think of her as a wonderful animal lover. And she loves dogs and cats, but she sees no issue with animals like elephants being held captive in zoos. And she, in fact, fought against the release of the elephants at the Los Angeles Zoo and, you know, actually advocated for them to remain there, even though the conditions at the LA Zoo are not great. Billy is a lone elephant there. And now I've forgotten her name. I think it might be Shanzi. The two female elephants died there, so now the one remaining female elephant, I believe I have this right, is also alone because they can't keep Billy with the female. And Betty White has actively pushed to have those elephants remain in that zoo. So when everyone sings Betty's praises, I don't. You either love animals or you don't. I'm impressed that she's done what she has for animal, for dog and cat rescue, but she certainly has been no friend to elephants and other captive zoo animals, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad part.
I just thought I brought that up, though. Yeah, I just thought I brought that up. Not to start a smear campaign, but just, you know, as proof. That's why I was going to send you the article, Debbie, just says proof that I'm trying to start a smear campaign. It's truth. You know, I just found it on Google, and I didn't realize that until, I think, when Bob Barker died, that that's what occurred between those two. This
yeah.
On elephant, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah,
also, Cher has had a petition for Lucy, right? I mean, where does that stand?
Well, unfortunately, we had great hope with Cher's organization, Free the Wild, when they had expressed an interest in helping Lucy. And we were absolutely thrilled when we found this out. But in fact, the involvement of Free the Wild turned out to be quite disappointing and actually created new barriers for our campaign for Lucy, because after the international experts came in, even though we had two out of the three reports from the experts stating that Lucy should go to sanctuary, inexplicably Free the Wild sided with the Edmonton Valley Zoo in stating that Lucy should remain at the zoo. And we were just utterly shocked. So that has definitely thrown a wrench in our campaign for Lucy, and it was just devastating. I don't understand why they offered help and then, you know, didn't highlight the fact that the sanctuary experts were the ones that were most qualified to say whether Lucy could get to sanctuary safely, and instead they sided with the zoo experts, who were experts in reproduction of all things, and sided with them in saying that Lucy wasn't able to go to sanctuary. So that was frustrating. And another
I
one
bet.
Was Jane.
Whoa.
Jane Goodall. Jane Goodall reached out and wanted to help support Lucy, and she created a lovely video talking about how Lucy needed sanctuary, and then she got bombarded by the zoo and their zoo friends, and then she then retracted her support and said that Lucy should remain in Edmonton. So it's heartbreaking how these people have not only not helped, but actually damaged the campaign to see Lucy get to sanctuary. Very frustrating. On top
that
of
is.
The frustrations of dealing with the politics here and the greed and lack of compassion at the zoo, but then to have these people who claim to be animal lovers turn their backs on Lucy, and I feel like both of them literally started digging her grave, and it's just made our work so much harder. And quite frankly, has made me angry.
Terrible.
You know,
I don't blame
you.
And look at Billy the Elephant. I've had several shows on him, and he's still in the LA Zoo. It's like, come on, people, wake up and get, you know, let these animals, these captive animals, go out and enjoy their lives. We're only on this earth one time. That's it. One age, one time.
Yeah.
And we're all here temporarily. We're not going to die and come back the next day or next month. You know, it's like, look at, you know, put yourself in their place where they're at, and you're not going to like it, whether it's zoos or circuses or whatever. You know, so please, everyone, we need all of you. We are strength in numbers, you know. And Harold, can you believe all this? I mean, you think you got somebody on your side, and then they don't need to go to a sanctuary. What? What kind of world do we live in? You know, this greed and corruption, and, you know, people get bought off too easy to change people's minds. It's so wrong. They got to step in Lucy's place and at the Edmonton Zoo, and they're doing her so wrong. And 49 years old this year,
49.
Everyone been in there 47 years. Feel her pain, and please take that action. Changes don't happen on its own, you know.
I also want to mention that refer to Lucy as a geriatric or a senior elephant, and it's just such utter nonsense, because in proper conditions, elephants live as long as humans. At Elephant Nature Park, where I was just at, they had just rescued an 87-year-old elephant. Now that's a senior elephant, and the zoo will try to pass Lucy off as a senior elephant, too old to move, and it is just ridiculous. But you know what? People believe it, because when you watch Lucy walk and see how she moves, she looks like a senior elephant. So people believe this rhetoric, and you know, it's just so frustrating. When I saw a 98-year-old elephant the previous time I was at Elephant Nature Park, and here they are with this young elephant. She's still in her prime, and she doesn't look like it, but she is a young elephant, and she could very easily be moved to sanctuary if she had the right support and the right people moving her.
Gain strength, everyone. Please spread the word. Let's get stronger, okay? Strength to numbers. And Marianne, we're running out of time here, and I want to really thank you for coming on air again.
Thank you. Another
great show. And a big shout-out to all of LEAP out there, Lucy Edmonton's Advocates Project. Keep up the great work you're doing. Don't give up, because then we automatically lose. And looking forward to having you back on air again, Marianne. And don't give up hope. Keep hope alive, okay? And, Harold, thank you for all your support and all your, you know, how you multitask. And Mama Cat out there, going to give her a big shout-out. Everyone, next week we're going to be having Scott Beckstead back from Animal Wellness Action. we'll be just discussing the wild horses, okay? So we stand up for all animals from every angle on this platform. So hope you join in at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide. Call in. You can call in from Skype, 310-982-4270. Good night, everyone. And hope you all have a nice and peaceful evening, and hope you join us next week. Thank you for joining us. Let's just keep rocking the airways for Lucy the Elephant in Edmonton Valley Zoo. Good night, everyone. Thank you. May God bless you all. Prayers for Lucy. Paul in
good
hand.
Night, Debbie,
united
thank you.
We stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Thank you, everyone. Good night. Hi, Marianne.